Welcome back to Queer Talk. I'm your host today, Matthew Stafford, and we are talking with the Lipstick Lounge owners. We're talking to John DeValentine, we're talking to Rhonda Landers and Tracy Landers. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And one of the things we're talking about today is this new spiritual gathering you all are having at the Lipstick Lounge. So tell us about that. That's pretty exciting and new. What's going on?
Ronnie?
Well, this started about, we'll be going into our fifth or sixth week, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Fifth week.
This Sunday. And there were several events that led up to the gathering. And I guess the most significant was the loss of our mother on March the 22nd. And which was a huge impact for John and I, a huge loss. We had lost our father in 1996. And when you lose both parents, it has a profound effect on your life. And you begin to search within for all kinds of reasons.
Do you all have siblings?
Yes. We have a brother that is 5 years older, mm-hmm. Landy Gardner.
We grew up in church.
It's a Pentecostal background.
Right. Yes. Our dad was a minister.
So our roots are very, very thick.
Yes. And here we have Tracy, who's the good old Southern Baptist. So we have a combination here.
Southern Baptists have to be represented somehow.
That's right. Well, I'm here to represent.
She tries to balance us out.
Yes, she does.
But no, after Mom's passing, essentially we were faced with the burial costs. Mom did not have life insurance. And you know, at that time, you are trying to absorb everything, the loss, grieving, and to be facing a financial debt of that magnitude for a bar owner
and for a professor.
Neither one of us make a great deal of money, and that's okay. We have a great deal of life and blessings.
Lots of love.
That's right. Our community here took it upon themselves to jump in and show the greatest act of love. John and I and Tracy have given to the community in many different ways, supported local events and fundraisers that for great causes. And we're not too keen about taking. Just never have been. We like to be on the giving side of things, but unbeknownst to us, they were here.
Krista, one of the owners of
Lipstick, mm-hmm.
and
Robbie Bell and her partner
Kim,
along with
Corey, Bo,
Corey and Bo. There were so many involved,
Steph,
but,
so many.
But they decided to have a fundraiser. And it was like the Sunday after we got back from Huntington, West Virginia. Mm-hmm. And in that was a raffle. And they raised...
Silent auction.
Silent auction. This team and community raised the portion of the funeral costs.
Right.
All but I think we ended up owing $83 apiece.
Something like that.
We can do that. I said, that's doable. But I think John didn't. We were all so humbled by it. To think that the people around
would do
such a great act of love when they didn't have to. And the Sunday after the...
it was the Sunday.
The Sunday of the event.
Right.
We all just congregated back at the lounge. And at that point, decided to do some karaoke, and I just felt in honor of Mom to sing an old gospel tune, and Blessed Assurance came to mind, one of my favorites. One of yours too, Jonda. And it was
such a sweet presence you could feel, and there was a lot of people, but a decent crowd, And they were also moved and touched. They felt such a beautiful presence. And I really believe that was from the Lord. I mean, you could just feel his presence. And as soon as Rhonda finished talking about Mom's passing and singing, we stepped down and the people, the ones that were there, they were coming up and they were crying. And then we started talking about God and some of their experiences from the church and how they were brought up and their struggles being gay, their sexual orientation. Is it right? It's wrong. Because we've been, a lot of churches, how we were raised is it's not right. So we started sharing with them, and then someone had mentioned, I think it was Kim, said, why don't we have a church here once a week? She started it. And
everyone got on the bandwagon.
Everyone was on the bandwagon.
We need to do this. And so my thought was, okay, we can do this, but unlike the organized church and religion, you know, what I visioned it to be, and which became Tracy and John's vision, was a place together, our community together, share our experiences and talk about what spirituality is to us, and search together the meaning of all of this, you know, and through his word.
I think there are strength in numbers.
Right, there too. Is.
And I think there's a sense of family there, and so many of our community do not have that sense of family. Mm-hmm. Rhonda and Jonda and I are extremely blessed by our outside family as well as our family within. People are dealing with some very difficult times economically, spiritually, personally, and I think that this is the difference. I think the gathering is the difference because we share.
We share.
We don't preach down or preach to each other. We share in our daily experiences. And I think that's probably where we're different.
What God has, it's brought us through. And we mm-hmm. sing praise songs.
And do you have hymnals there?
Yes. Well, we sing Blessed Assurance.
We don't have hymnals.
Oh, no, but we have PowerPoint.
We have
PowerPoint. that's the educator coming out in me.
Church of the Modern Age.
We have a screen. And
bring your glasses.
It actually plays the music, and you see the lyrics
on the screen.
And then we have communion. It really doesn't last long. It's probably an hour and 30 minutes at the max.
Right. We share scripture.
Unless Rhonda gets on a roll, of course.
We share scripture, and it's not about what my opinion, just my opinion, or the interpretation of the scripture. It is everyone's. We talk about it. We study it. Well, what does this mean to you? This is what it means to me. And being that I come from, I have a very strong science background, and my education is very science-founded, that I have researched the message, you know, of the verses that we're reading. Not just that, but the Bible altogether. And much of where in the Old Testament, the writings of the Old Testament, and that it was a law, it pertained to the Jewish lineage, and that in that time, in those times, there were laws, just the same as in these times there are laws. And so I try to link all of that and say, okay, you know, here's where we are today, because as we moved into the New Testament,
the greatest commandment is to love one another.
To love one another. Things changed.
Right.
With our Father, you know, with Christ coming to earth. Things changed. And it's just, if you want to know more about that, come out on Sunday.
On Sunday.
I know that this wasn't the intent of this. it's just interview taken, was not to go into
it's
depth.
It's just taking the time. I mean, what's an hour and 30 minutes one day out of the week? And I get so much out of it. Mm-hmm. The bar is actually not open to serve. And
we don't smoke.
We don't smoke.
And there's no drinking during the gathering.
Service, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's been wonderful. It's very uplifting, and we all leave feeling good. About
it's a source of strength.
It is.
It's a source of strength
really
because
is.
You feel the support and love of each other. And that
you're
speaks.
Fed.
You're fed.
That just speaks volumes, you know?
There's no ties. There's no... It's totally different than...
Probably what they're traditionally...
Traditional.
What they're
the
used
churches
to.
Are right.
It strikes me as quite unconventional on several levels. I mean, first of all, you have, you know, a gathering where there are lots of women involved in leading things, and you don't see that in lots of faiths.
Right.
One. And number two, obviously, you don't see gay lesbian people affirmed and doing, you know, being involved in lots. Of, I mean, there are
several
that are clearly. Mm-hmm. But in many, especially that we all grew up in, you didn't see that.
Well, you didn't
That's
see
correct.
That.
And,
exactly right.
And, you know, also that this is happening in a bar.
In a bar.
That's pretty amazing.
Well,
it's every extreme you can get.
It is. But what's ironic.
This is the ironic piece of that. Tell it, Jonda.
It's that when my mom and dad, when they started the church in Huntington, before the building was built, they actually stood on the corner.
Across from a bar.
Across from the bar and ministered. And some of those people.
As those people walked out of the bar.
And some of those people are actually were some of the founders of building the church in Huntington, West Virginia. Mm-hmm. And how ironic how we now we have a bar and it's that kind of come full circle. But that's
mm-hmm.
life. It's just life. It's ironic. Mm. But it's good.
Is this a way, in part, to kind of keep close to your parents' presence?
Oh, our roots. Yes.
Yes.
We're fifth
so
generation.
Much. Fifth generation Pentecostal.
Now, in each generation, there has been transitions from the church's standards and the
rules, the laws,
rules, and this is the way. This is the way. Yeah, it was back in my great grandmother. She didn't wear any red clothing at all.
Show her ankles, show her
wrists.
I mean, wrists.
We, I mean, through time and generations,
you have to change.
You have to change. Well, the only thing that stays the same is change. I think that's in one of Melissa Etheridge's songs. I do not clearly want to take credit for that.
It may or may not be a song people hear on Sunday if you go to the gathering.
No, it probably won't be. But it's so true.
It is.
I mean, but what we still hang on to is the message.
The message.
The message of God that... You know, we're not alone in this.
Love one another. It's the greatest commandment. Lift each other up. Unite. And I think that's...
Yeah. It doesn't matter how you were raised, what beliefs that you have. I think...
Obviously, you guys let me come.
That's right. I think that it all leads to the same end result.
It does.
We are all searching... And finding our own spirituality, we find God on our own.
Through some of the most difficult times.
And through the
lives.
Most painful moments of our lives. And we shed all of the upbringing, I call it this junk. We finally get rid of that stuff. And we truly find who God is and what, how he represents us in our lives. And you know what? It's all based in love. It really truly is. So if your religion, which I find, or your beliefs start with love, how can that be wrong? And how can we not all lead to end up in the same place
at
the end?
I think that a lot of how we were raised, churches, they put God, they have a tendency to put God in a box. Oh, we're right, you're mm-hmm. wrong. And they make him so small.
John, tell...
What, Dad?
What, Dad?
Which, every time I just love.
I know.
I remember being a teenager, and Dad said, you know, when you think you know God and you haven't figured out, he said, drive to the beach and sit on the beach in the sand and look out and watch the sun go up or go down. But look out there and see all of the water. You can't see where the water ends. And there's more water than there is land. And if you can tell me what all exists, the life in that ocean, and how it all works, and all the life that exists in it, then you may know maybe a fraction of how God thinks. Just a fraction.
And then I like to add to that.
You always do. Go ahead.
God is not a glass of water.
No.
You can't put him in a glass of water, which so often people have a tendency to do. This is what God, if people would stop talking for God,
yes,
we'd probably all be in a better place.
Yes.
But because no one thinks like God. Or should begin to speak for God.
And that's such an interesting concept because it seems like something, there's been so much division among churches, for example, and just thinking of Christian faiths alone, there's been so much division and that this, you know, this church thinks they're
right.
The ones that own the moniker of the church. You know, the real church, and so does the next one, and the next one, and the next one.
And it all comes from the same book, the Bible. All these denominations come from one book, and each one of them are right. We're all going to be surprised.
Yeah.
When we get to heaven.
John Doe, I was going to ask you, you had at one point talked about, when I talked to you before about this, about God's will versus people's free will.
Right.
And I thought that was a very interesting statement.
Right. I about a year ago, I went through a really, really hard time. And there was a good bit of suffering. I didn't understand it all and why. And the first thing that I used to do, I don't do it anymore, but it's, I got on my knees and I said, why, God, why? Why am I going through this? Why do I have to go through this suffering? And that's how I would pray. And then it's kind of like a light bulb went off in my head. I'm thinking, God does not make the decisions of people. He gave human beings the right to have free will. We all have free will. We make our choices. We choose to serve him or we choose not to serve him. On a day-to-day basis, we make the choices on a day-to-day basis. Well, what am I going to do today? Even to long-term, what job am I going to take? Or when you meet somebody, or down to the point, I'm going to be committed to this person. I'm going to marry this person. And if you make the decision, you may not make the decision, but someone that you love make the decision that, hey, I'm not committed anymore. That is not God. He did not say, okay, you're going to not be with this person anymore. And through that, I realized, I thought, well, this has nothing to do with God. This was her own will or his own will, whatever, but through that, I thought, well, I realized a turning point in my life. I realized, okay, I'm going to pray for peace. I'm going to pray that God will get me through this. And he did. He showed me peace. He gave me peace. And through time and seeking him and getting closer to him, then my joy came back. But it's letting, I mean, we have a tendency, or I had in my past, to blame put the blame on God. Mm-hmm. Well, God, why are you letting this happen to me? But it's not God. It's people that make poor choices. And I think as a human being, we all do. We really all do. It's kind of like, Rhonda, you said, it's kind of like a highway, the path to our destination that God has planned for us. But there's times that...
It's pretty direct. His path is pretty direct. I mean, it's pretty simple. The whole plan is very simple. First of all, you have the choice to acknowledge that I'm here or you don't. If you choose to acknowledge me, you're mine. You're one of mine, and I'll never leave you. I've never left you. I'm always here waiting. But the path is pretty straightforward. This is the path. I love you. Now I want you to love others like I loved you. And you start walking that path, and the blessings will be so wonderful.
If you take a left turn.
But here's what happens. We constantly are jumping ahead and saying, oh, let me do this for you, God.
Yeah, God, I got this.
I'm going to make a right turn. I've got this totally in control. This is going to be better if I make a right turn or a left turn. And I can only imagine the map that we create. If you look at a map, you look down and you're seeing Nashville to Knoxville. You see Interstate 40 that's pretty much direct. But then you see all of these side roads every which way. That's us.
That's our free will.
Making all of these little ways from the main, and that's Gabby, the Dachshund that loves to talk. But I mean, and fortunately, there are the roads, and there are always roads that will lead you right back onto that path. And I think those roads, intersections. I think those intersections. God places those intersections back to the.
Puts a
ramp there to put us right back onto our path. But you know what? He's always there, and he can turn something really, really wrong or really, really bad into something really, really great. Mm-hmm. And he has in my life. And there's a little song that I've heard all of my life, and it says, "We've come this far by faith,
leaning on
the Lord." And it's so true.
Yep.
You know, it's by faith, not my actual human eyes, but my heart's eyes that gives me the faith to know that I'm okay and I'm in the hands of a greater power and greater being that loves me and that is going to always make a way.
He always does.
He always does.
And on that note, please tell our listeners where the Lipstick Lounge is located and what time the gathering is.
Yes, it is located on 14th and Woodland, right there on the corner, 14th Street in Woodland. 1400 Woodland is actually the address of the Lipstick Lounge. And the time is from 2 to 4.
And one of the reasons we made it from 2 to 4 is that there are people within our community that are church-going folks.
Right,
and we didn't want to disrupt the normal flow of their life and going to church. By all means, continue to go to your church. Support your church. This is not an anti-church movement.
No, no, no.
Let me make that very clear. But it's just an addition. It's an addition of a community to come together, to support one another, to love one another, through everything. Through everything.
And everybody's welcome, female, male.
Everybody is welcome.
Christian, non-Christian, whoever
absolutely.
They are.
Everybody is welcome.
And if you have a child, you can bring your children.
Yes,
absolutely.
You're welcome. There are no rules here. There are no rules. We're just reaching out.
No dress code.
No dress code.
Wear your PJs.
We're just reaching out. I kind of makes me think, you know, when Jesus walked the earth, he could have, if he wanted to,
He could have built the greatest cathedral there was in the middle of nowhere that still would be existing today, one of the most profound architectural buildings ever made. He could have done that. But instead, he chose to walk out to where the people were and share and give and love. And that's what we're choosing to do on Sunday afternoon. It's just that. Just be where the people are.
All right. So you heard it here. The gathering is at Lipstick Lounge starting at 2 o'clock on Sundays. And ladies, thanks so much for coming on the program. John DeValentine, Rhonda Landers, Tracy Landers.
Thank you so much. We're sorry for our unruly puppies.
No problem. They decided they needed to chime in a little too.
Okay, and there is 3 lesbians and 4 puppies. Does that seem unusual?
No stereotypes. No. All right. Thanks so much, ladies. Thank you also to DJ Ron. Thank you to our producer, Dr. Joyce Arnold. And please stay tuned for another edition of Queer Talk next week.
And this right here is Rhonda and Jonda with Jesus on the Main Line.
He's my rock, my sword, and my shield. He's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He's a little... He's the lily of the valley, my bright morning star. Yeah. And I don't care, and I don't care what people say.
What are you gonna do, Ron?
I'm going down on my knees. I'm gonna pray.
Boy, and after you pray, what are you gonna wait? What are you gonna do, Rhonda?
I'm gonna pray for all the children.
Are you gonna pray? And pray for what else?
I'm gonna pray for love. I'm gonna pray for acceptance of everyone.
I'm gonna pray for some peace.
No more prejudice.
Peace in this nation.
Uh-huh. Then I'm gonna wait till he answers.
Yeah.
Heaven above. Yeah. And he's my rock, my sword, my shield. He's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He's the lily of the valley. My pride and morning star. Makes no difference in what they say. He's a wheel in the middle of the wheel. He's a lily of the valley. My bright and morning star. Makes no difference in what they say. I'm going down on my knees and pray.
song.